And thank you very much. And you can have a seat. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 in your Bible. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 9. I'll read verse 6. You read verse 7 with me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let's pray together. Our Father, thank you again for your precious word. Please, Lord, I ask this to be a help. I pray that, Lord, you would strengthen us. And, Lord, help us live by the principles in your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us, please, as only you can, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Everybody has a, should have, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had a truth that he said dominated his thinking. Simple. This was it. Everybody's going to live somewhere forever. He's one of the greatest evangelists in America. Preached, you know, bars shut down, and they said Chicago was the only place that he couldn't shut down. But dominated by a truth, everybody's going to live somewhere forever. Good, simple truth. What I'm going to give you tonight is another simple truth that is easy. It should control our decision making, and it should influence us. And so it's just amazing how God appeals to our selfishness. You say, well, you're supposed to do what you do for the glory of the Lord. I know, but when you give to the Lord's work, God says you're laying up treasure for yourself in heaven, right? So the motive, one motive for giving could be, well, there's lost people that need missionaries, and there's the work of the Lord that helps people go to heaven. It can be, and it should be a motivation, but another motivation for your giving could be everything you give, you're laying up in store for yourself in heaven. Amen? So there's an appeal to selfishness. This is one of them. And as you look here, let's just start at verse 1, and we'll work our way down to our text verse, which is verse 7 and 8. But watch this. It says here, verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. First of all, it doesn't say if anybody's overtaken in a sin, it says a fault. So what's a fault? That is the weak place that if pressure is applied, it will break. It hasn't broken yet, but like a fault line where earthquakes happen. There's fault lines that if enough pressure is applied, it breaks. And so if anybody is overtaken in a fault or a weakness where they're prone to break, that's why we pray for each other. It says here, if you're spiritual, you look to help them and pray for them. You don't hold their faults against them. If we spend enough time with each other, we're going to learn all of our faults. Our weaknesses, everybody's got different weaknesses. And if you're spiritual, that's a good point. If you're spiritual, you always want to help build up. You don't want to use what you learn about people against them, right? So if you're spiritual, you restore, and then here it says, with a spirit of meekness. What's that mean? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look, the one who's helping can fall into the same temptation they're helping somebody else overcome. Right? You've heard that statement, except for the grace of God, there go I. Okay? So, in a spirit of meekness, keeping in mind, if I don't keep myself restrained, I could also fall into that same fault or temptation. Ready? Watch this. Here we go. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So find out what's hurting other people. Find out, in other words, some people do go into it sometimes too much when you say, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's terrible. You know what I mean? And then they go through the whole list. Monday this happened, and then the car died on Tuesday, and then my cat got shot on Wednesday. They go through everything and it's like, but God says, if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, find out what people are burdened with and pray for them with them and help them, encourage them. I like the old statement, be nice to everybody because everybody's having a hard day. Everybody's struggling with something. Amen. And we're not fakes, but as far as you know, when we walk through the church doors, we got a smile on our face. I'm for being your best. I'm for not whining to everybody. And I don't know that I want everybody to know my burdens. But I don't mind telling you, probably the heaviest thing on my mind right now would be my dad, right? Because he can't have surgery and he can't move. And this is his first time he's ever broken a bone. We're going to get through this, right? But that's probably the heaviest thing. By the time we have surgery, everything will be fine. But it's something that we pray. But I don't know that I want you knowing about every burden I have. Amen. But just bear ye one another's burdens. And what a verse. You'll notice whenever Pastor Owen signs your Bible, he puts Galatians 6:2. He's made it the theme of his ministry. I want to find out what you're burdened with, and then I want to help you to fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. To fulfill why God put me here. I want to help encourage you. I like that. It's always been see that every time I read that verse. Now watch this carefully. He says here, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, we're all nothing, right? Be real careful. Our pride can get so out of control so fast. You know what I have written right next to my Bible? Keep your finger there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians, just go back two books, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 12, similar verse, God warns us, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's like right when you say, oh, I would never do that, don't say that. Say it this way, by God's grace I would never do that. The very fact that God told you, thou shalt not kill, means you're capable of murder. The very fact that God said, thou shalt not steal, means you're capable of taking something that doesn't belong to you. And you may not have stolen, but just be careful. Be careful. Well, I've never done that, and I would never do that. No. Praise God you've been in church. Praise God the Lord's helped you that you've never done that. But don't ever say, oh, I would never do something like that. You're just as capable as anybody is, right? Take heed if you think you're standing. Take heed lest you fall. And any time it's like, well, look at me. You're right on the edge. You're getting close to falling before pride, right? Before it, right, comes. Here we go. Watch this. Now go back to Galatians chapter 6. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's a wonderful truth to remember if I can just keep remembering who I am. I'm nothing without Jesus. I'm a nasty, dirty, rotten, hell-deserving, law-breaking sinner that needs Jesus, and without him, I make a mess of things. Right? Okay, then watch this. Verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, let Jesus help you so that you can rejoice in the Lord with what he can use you to do in the lives of other people. Keep your rejoicing in the Lord. Look what Jesus helped me do, and look what the Lord helped me do, and what God gave me the grace to do. And that way your rejoicing's in the Lord. And notice verse 5, you got to really think about it. For every man shall bear his own burden. You say, well, wait a second. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Here's what this means. You should be more interested in helping people bear their burdens than people helping you bear your burdens. You should be interested asking Jesus to help you, and then once Jesus helps you, you find somebody else to help. But quit being so concerned, well, nobody helps me. I'm just in this all alone. Careful, you got a Martha mentality. You know what I mean? Lord, remember that, Mark 10? Lord, you've left me here to serve alone, and I'm doing dishes and cooking food, and there's Mary sitting at your feet, learning the Bible, and he said, you're so cumbered about. You think you're the only one that's serving God. Careful. Once again, you should be interested in giving your burdens to the Lord, casting your cares upon him, and then finding somebody else to help. These words are wonderful. Do you need anything? Can I help you? How are you doing this week? Anything I can pray about? reaching out. Very, Brother Hiles used to say, so few people think their way into other people's lives because it takes work. That helped me. Stop. Quit being so self-centered and start thinking of other people's problems. Bear your own burdens and then try to help other people. Right? Here we go. It's warming up to it. He says here, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Then look at our text verse, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a simple truth, but it should dominate our lives and our decision making. You're going to reap what you sow. And some people want things when they've never sowed it. You can't get a peach tree unless you plant a peach tree, unless you sow it. Oh boy, I sure wish I had some water. You're never going to get watermelons because you never planted watermelons. Amen? But you will reap what you sow. And God says, you can mark it down. You can go to the bank on it. There's one thing that's always going to happen. You will always reap what you sow. And the statement, you've heard me say it, you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Right? It's just like when you put that corn in the ground, that corn seed, it always comes after. More comes up. Right? But whatever you put in the ground is what you sow. He's using it as an illustration here that you can't outgive God. Whatever you, if you live, if you put bad in your life, you'll reap more bad. Well, wait a second. The plea to selfishness says if you would put good in your life, you could reap more good. More good would come. Be not deceived. Now, watch this. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you keep watching that stuff, if you keep listening to that stuff, if you keep reading that stuff, you're sowing to your flesh corruption, and you're going to reap more. Whatever it is that you're watching, whatever it is that you're reading, whatever you're putting in, you're going to get more of it out. That's a good warning to stay away from the bad, isn't it? Right? In other words, not just the bad that you're watching, you're going to get more bad from that. Then what's that? He said here, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Here's the other promise, but he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you keep doing things that Christians don't do, you're going to get yourself out of church. But if you would keep doing the things that Christians do, you could keep yourself in church. Because you're going to reap what you sow. It works, negative and positive. Be not deceived. God says, I am not mocked. That's one way of God saying, to think you can do wrong, all decisions have consequences, but to think you can do wrong and somehow good's going to come from it, you're deceived. God says, I will not be mocked. I promise you, you reap what you sow. It's a law, you could say, of the Medes and Persians. Somebody used this, and they used to say, well, if you drink alcohol, then you're going to reap what you sow and get drunk. If you steal, you're going to reap what you sow and go to jail. Yes, I see what they're saying, but that's not really what he's saying. He's saying, if you drink alcohol when you know you're not supposed to drink alcohol, wait to see what your kids do. That's reaping and sowing. If you take what's not yours, imagine what people are going to take from you because you're going to reap what you sow. That is probably the bigger picture. How come you don't want to take that $5 bill that's sitting there that you know doesn't belong to you and you could take it? Nobody. How come you don't want to steal it? Because if I steal it, I will reap what I sow. And if I would steal the five, I will have more stolen from me. God's promise, right? Now, if I apply that, that's why they asked Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles would take all of his money and he would preach out every Monday and Tuesday, and then he would bring back his love offering. And, you know, they'd give him like, you know, $1,000 or whatever. I remember my wife was, you know, they had the college girls there, and he and Mrs. Hiles were up in the balcony, you know, at the thing, and he and Mrs. Hiles had my wife could tell you how many bowls of quarters, but he had all of his love offering for like 3 weeks turned into quarters. And I think there was 1,000 girls there at the college when we were there. And I remember he and Mrs. Hiles, he said, "Watch out below." And he dumped he would give money away. I mean, he'd dump it. Well, these are poor college girls, right? And there, one time he had a dress. He was always using his love offerings to help people. And his book money, I mean, he sold 10 million books. Do the math on that. He was a millionaire several times. Oh, he was always giving money away. One time he had a dress factory come to the college and they filled the whole floor of the cafeteria with dresses. And he said, "Girls, go through and pick you any two dresses that you want. I'm buying." And so they went, you know, everybody went through and got their dresses and then they took the toll. I just said that to say, they said, "Brother Hiles, how come you give away so much money?" And he said, "If you really want to know the truth," he said, "it's probably selfishness." He said, "I know I've learned you can't outgive God." He said, "And whatever I give, God gives back." He said, "I wish I could tell you, well, I just do it for the Lord." He said, "I do." He said, "But I've just learned you can't outgive God. And so I give it." And he would have lines of 45 people, 50 people every service at his door. "I can't pay my rent. I can't pay, you know, this and electric shut off or this." And he just, the money he gave out, it was, don't ever come to me. I don't have that kind of money. Okay. I just said that to say the million, he said, "Do you know how come millions of dollars can pass through my hands?" He said, "Because I don't keep it. I give it away." Well, no wonder everybody went to his church. Well, sort of. Okay, everybody that went to his church wasn't totally poor. But it is a concept. You reap what you sow in every area of your life. What should keep you from doing wrong is, I don't want to reap that. Things like, watch this. This is, here, let's just do a small little journey here. Go to Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Hosea in the Old Testament. I know I've already told you this, but it's just good to Hosea chapter 8 and look at verse number 7. Ready? "For they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." The first part of the verse, if you sow the wind, if you plant the wind, what's going to come is a tornado. That's a whirlwind. Remember, you reap what you sow, after you sow, and more than you sow. Probably one of the best pictures, go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14. Proverbs, right after Psalms, go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verse 14, okay? "Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord." What's discord? Trouble, distress, mischief. He sows discord. You reap what you sow in every area of life. Let's take the area of giving, okay? Whatever you give, that's why it takes a while for a Christian to give by faith, but whatever you give, we're talking money now, whatever you do, how come they always want my money? You wouldn't gripe if you would, number one, give when God told you to give, and then if you'd watch God give back to you when you give, you wouldn't gripe. The only reason you gripe and got a bad attitude, because you haven't learned God can outgive you. Amen? You reap what you sow in giving. That's how come some people, there's people with a gift of giving, they look for things to invest in spiritually. Because I know if I invest in that, what? I get more. Isn't that funny? I'm looking for some. That's what Russell Anderson used to do. How can I get as many souls for each dollar I give as possible? He found a way. Before he died, he got to support missionaries that led 25 million people to Christ. Nobody's heard of that. I'm looking to invest. In giving, I'm looking to reap what I sow. That's how come God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a cheerful giver. If I give 10% of what I make this week, I'm excited to see how God's going to give it back. Some people take it to this. I've watched this. Pastor, I can only give 10% of this because this is what I make. I wish I made this much, but I only make this much. I watched two people tithe on what they wish they made, and God blessed them. Amen? I don't tell everybody that because somebody go, oh, you're just trying to get people's money. It's beautiful to see, watch people experience God's blessing on giving. But you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow in giving. Watch this about your time. There's more than money, right? You can give. You can give your time. If I give my time to that, then I know God will give me more time. You say, well, I hardly have time, any time to do anything. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. God is not mocked. If you give your time to good things, God will give you more time because you reap what you sow. Well, I barely have enough time to spend your time doing right. Sow to the Spirit righteousness. Here we go. Let's apply this. The name of the sermon is Sowing and Reaping in Everything. Everything. And it should dominate our thinking. It should help us make decisions. How about this? How about fellowship? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this applies more to marriage, but it really applies to Pastor Owens used to say this. He said, for 18 years, I was an assistant pastor to Dr. Jack Hiles, and I served him the way I would want to be served. I can't wait to reap what I've sowed. I know I did my best, right? Life is going to be exciting to me because God says you reap what you sow. Fellowship. Now, we're going to apply this. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So God gives the order. God, Christ, man, woman, child, right? That's the order. A husband cannot expect his wife to follow him if he's not willing to follow the Lord. Well, you just better do what I tell you because I'm in charge here. That leadership never lasts. It never works out. There's resentment and bitterness and anger that comes. Fellowship is reaped and sowed. And you will one day get the followers that you are to your boss. Here we go. We just applied it to marriage. Okay? Let's apply it to work. At our job, when I was welding at Tri-State Industries in Chicago, there were guys that would look at the parts bin and they would go, you know, the boss will never miss this. I mean, you know, all bolts types and nuts and, well, he's not going to miss a few washers. That's called purloining. Stealing what the boss won't ever account for. How come us on night shift, we didn't do that? And boss always said, those guys are going to reap what they sow. You will reap what you sow. Leave it alone. You don't want people taking from you that way, do you? Let's apply this to children. How come you should obey your parents? Because one day you're going to reap what you sow and it's going to be awesome. Keep on sneaking around. Keep on with the nasty attitude. I can't wait till one day you have kids because you're going to reap what you sow. When you address your dad, it should be yes, sir, no, sir. When you address your mom, it should be yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. It should be with kindness and honor because why? You reap what you sow. One parent called me, you know, my boy is, help us. I remember when I was a Bible club leader, my boy is throwing knives at me. You have to come over to the house and help me. So I go over there. I mean, here's this guy, 14 years, no, he was 13. 13 years old, throwing knives at his mother, right? He's by the kitchen door like this. I walked in. I won't tell you all the disciplinary measures that I did, but he stopped throwing knives at his mother. However, I said, he's 13. I said, you're going to have a problem. If anything, you wouldn't spank him when he was younger because you didn't want him to dislike you for the discipline. And now you're what? Reaping what you sowed. You didn't want to discipline your kids, right? Well, he just needs a timeout. He needed more than a timeout. He needed a tree to fall on him. the woodshed. He had a bunch of problems. I'm just saying you didn't want to spank your kids. You didn't want to discipline them? Welcome. Do you like what you made? Big load, isn't it? Scary. I said, give him a few more years. I said, that kid's going to jail. That kid is going to jail. If he did something needs to happen. You reap what you sow. It should dominate your thinking. Why should you obey the golden rule? What is the golden rule? It is not treat people the way they've treated you. How come you're supposed to treat people? What's the golden rule? Treat people the way you want to be treated. Well, yeah, but they did this to me and they took this and they said this. How come you treat people the way you want to be treated? Because you're going to reap what you sow. You can't get away from that. You're going to reap what you sow. That is so important. Now go back to Galatians. Here we go. When it comes to being a servant, you're going to reap what you sow. One day somebody's going to serve you and do the job you asked them to do like you did the job you were asked to do. Someone told me when I was at a church, and some people don't like how I oversee a singing group, but I try to help the group for their sake so that they sound good. One person came up to me and they said, "You're so critical." This is what they said. "You expect so much out of people, nobody can deliver." And I said, or I'm trying to help them do their best. If somebody can't sing, I've told 6 people in my life, amen. They tried out for the choir and I just said, probably not now, right? Amen. Keep working at it. Amen. If somebody can't sing, I'll tell them they can't sing. Have you ever considered art? Have you ever considered taking up detailing vehicles? Anything but singing. In other words, keep working at it. And singing is learned like other things. Some have more talent at it than others. But somebody said, "You expect too much out of people. You can't push those singers like that." I said, "I'm going to reap what I sow." When I work with people, if I have low expectations, I'll reap what I sow. But God has high expectations for you, and He helps you reach them. Amen? He helps you reach them. He helps you grow. Amen? I'm not a control freak. I'm not when I help somebody with something, I don't care if it's singing, I don't care if it's working junior church, I don't care if it's a bus program. I'll keep helping them until they say stop. I've got so much to work on now, I don't. You say, how come you do that? Because you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. If you'll give your best when you help people, God says you'll get people someday that will give their best when it's time to help you. Amen? You reap what you sow. It should dominate our thinking. What about in the area of mercy? You reap what you sow. What's mercy? It's not giving people what they've earned in the punishment they've earned when they blow it. If you want mercy, do you give it? The moment somebody fails you, do you hold it against them? All or nothing people have to learn. You know what an all or nothing person is? You fail me one time, I X you off. That's an all or nothing person. And I always say, you've got a rough life to live, because that's going to get knocked out of you in life. But people are going to fail you. They're going to let you down. How do you handle it? Well, you get one, strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. I'll never ask you again. Careful. You're going to reap what you sow. You don't want people dealing with you that way, so don't deal with other people that way. If you want mercy, you got to give mercy. How about this? Let's just take the area of love. Well, nobody loves me. Do you give love? The happiest person is Brother Hiles used to say, the happiest person is the one who has found somebody to invest in. That's the value of the bus ministry. That's the value of teaching a Sunday school class. You found somebody to pour your life into. Well, they're going to keep on coming to church. There's very few Teresa Tuckers, my wife. When she was 13, she was reached. She did. Only one in her family out of 6 kids that went to church. They are out there, but some of them will. Most of them won't. We're not in the bus ministry so we can build the church. We're in the bus ministry so you can find people to invest in and pour your life into, because that's when you grow. Well, our church isn't growing very much. You reap what you sow. Well, who do you have to care about more than yourself? You know what they used to teach us in college? They used to say, Go to the nursing homes. Preach at the nursing homes. Find when the nurses gather those old people, you know, and they bring them to the room, and then I would play 20 minutes and then preach for 20 minutes. They said the most important part about the nursing home ministry is you find somebody care about, and when they pass, you cry. It's good for you. Amen. I preached in 5 nursing homes a week. 5. 3 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday afternoon, and then 1 on a Thursday. Did that for years. Well, who's still in church because of it? I don't know, but it was sure fun. It was sure fun pouring myself into it, and giving myself to it. I remember one guy, he came and he could never sing. His name was, they called him Eddie, and they'd wheel him in the wheelchair, and Eddie was, you know, he'd tilt, he had drool coming out of his mouth, and like that. All I had to do was sing, "Some glad morning when this life's o'er, I'll fly away," and he'd go. That one song set him free. Amen. And I still see him to this day, totally losing it every time we sing, "I'll fly away." Well, does Eddie remember you? No, but I remember when he passed. It meant a lot to me. You reap what you sow when it comes to love. Well, nobody loves me. Who are you investing in? Who do you give yourself to? Who are you living for? If you're selfish and self-centered and you're the only one that you think about, then guess what? You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. That's the area of love. Now, this is going to boil down to, here, take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The whole purpose of the ministries of the church is not to build the church. It's to build the people in the church that are in the ministries. Well, no, we got to grow our Sunday school class. That could happen. But if you're reading your Bible and praying for the Sunday school class you have, you get more out of the Sunday school class than those you're teaching. And that was the purpose of the Sunday school class. They're not thinking about it that way. They're thinking as far as God gives you His work to do to grow you. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 24. Ready? "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think that's Jesus. Amen. And friendship relationships are sweet. Well, nobody's my friend, and I don't have any friends. Who are you a friend to? Because you reap what you sow. Nobody cares about me. I don't have anybody. Who are you a friend to? What's a friend do? How you doing? How's your week going? I think about you. I pray for you. Are you a friend to anybody? Maybe you're alone because you're selfish. We have a lot of selfishness in our society, from the social media to everything. There's a lot, and people get in these pity parties. I've seen it. You know, we'd have activities with the teenagers. This is when I was a youth director. There's always a few girls. "I can't play. Nobody will ever pick me. I can't participate." You know what? You're that way because you're reaping what you sowed. You're a selfish individual that doesn't interact with anybody, but you expect everybody to interact with you. You are reaping what you sowed. And until you break that habit, you can sit in the corner and pout. Amen? Friendship. Who are you a friend to? Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. And happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. Right? He that hath friends, if you want friends, you got to be friendly. "Hi, how are you this morning?" "Mind your own business." it's like, wow, aren't you a piece of work this morning? I'm just not a morning person. Well, why don't you try to be it for the people that are around you? Amen. You say, "I'll come." You reap what you sow. It's supposed to dominate our thinking. How come you're not aggressive when you feel the urge to? I don't know that I want to reap that. Because if I am nasty with somebody and I bite their head off, I'm going to reap what I sow. Better be careful. It's supposed to dominate your thinking and your actions. It's supposed to be one of those simple truths that says, ooh, here we go. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Thinking that dominates us and helps us make decisions. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look down at verse 9. Ready? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you're truly thinking what God told you to do, it keeps you from quitting. Be faithful. You will reap. That's a promise of God. You may not have yet, but you're going to reap what you've sowed. Keep on sowing. The good deeds, the righteousness, your love for the Lord, keep on going. Stay faithful, because you're going to reap if you don't quit. And I don't want to reap quitting, so I don't want to sow it. Amen? Simple truth. You cannot escape it. God has so stacked the deck in the universe that nobody gets away from this. I know I likened it to dealing cards, but just hang with me there, okay? That means everybody. This should help you. How come you should be faithful to church? Because you're going to reap what you sow. Remember, what you do in your private life and what you do in your own, remember, if you sow to your flesh corruption, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to get more of it. Whatever you're doing, don't let a little in or you'll get a lot. Helps you live right. Amen. Helps you enjoy the Christian life. But you're going to reap what you sow. Simple truth. Hope it helps you. It should dominate our thinking as a Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Lord, thank you for the people you've used in my life to teach me the basics. And Lord, surely this is one of the basics. I ask that please you bless the people. You'd help us. I know it's as individuals, but Lord, as a church, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short, small altar call.